Erev Tov, today's Amud in Araisa, Yumadaf Pehei Amud Aleph. Yumad Pehei Amud Aleph. We are starting the fourth last bottom of Masechta Masechta today. Just to quickly review Pei Dalad Beis. We actually reached, 2 days ago, we reached the two dots on Pei Dalad Amud Beis, about 10, 12 lines down. So we picked it up yesterday. We picked it up from the Gemara's question, why is there a repetition? The Mishnah says certain things you can do because it's Safek Bukh Nefesh. And then it says a klal that on Safek Bukh Nefesh, Mechal Shabbos. You already said you could do things on Shabbos because Safek Bukh Nefesh, I already know that from the scenarios that painted early in the Mishnah. Why is he repeating this kind of general rule? The Mark explains, because I may have thought you only Mechal Shabbos for a Safek Bukh Nefesh on that particular Shabbos. If the person may die that Shabbos, you Mechal Shabbos for that Shabbos. But if it's a Safek Bukh Nefesh for a subsequent Shabbos, maybe not. The Mark said, that's also Pasha. Why would I think you can't, if the guy may die, the guy may die? So he said, no, because the case is Hacham Eskina, where the fellow needs 8 days of remedy. The doctor said needs 8 days of remedy. And if we start today, we'll be Mechal Shabbos today, today's Shabbos, and next Shabbos as well. If we wait till about the Shabbos, we'll only have to Mechal one Shabbos. So maybe it's only 8 days of remedy anyway. We wait till about the Shabbos, and the answer is no. You start right away. If there's any doubt of Pikuach Nefesh, and there's doubt that he can last longer. We said on the flip side, if the doctors say there's absolutely no problem waiting 5 hours till you start, I'm just picking a case, let's say Shabbos afternoon, waiting till about the Shabbos to start the treatment, then the you would wait. If the doctors say there's zero risk in waiting, then you would wait. But short of that, once there's any risk, avada, you're not going to wait. That was the chiddush of the Mishnah, stressing about Safek Bukh Nefesh is Deicha Shabbos, even when it's relevant for the subsequent Shabbos. And then the Gemara then brings that, the Gemara brings that if there's a scenario of, again, of a Safek Bukh Nefesh, we say, we go specifically, we go not Dafka to a guy. We go to Gedali Yisrael, we point out Gedali Yisrael doesn't mean the Gedali of Kai Yisrael. Gedali Yisrael simply means a male adult. That's what it means, male adult. We go to the Gedali Yisrael, we don't start looking for Goyim. We give a couple reasons why not, either because certainly you don't want to delay time, that's Shulik Gemurim. So if it's not a delay, maybe you do go to Goyim. Other Shem say, no, you dafka don't go to Goyim, either because Goyim will be not as, they don't take life as serious, they're not as diligent in trying to save someone's life, and therefore you go to Yidden, that's Taisvis, or Rambam also, or we brought from the Rash and the Ran, they learned that we're concerned if you go to the guy this time, even if the person could wait the 3 minutes till it takes to find the guy. Next time, a person may not have those 3 minutes, and they're going to think that's the lach, you have to go find the guy, not realizing that that was just only because the opportunity presented itself, but normally, for Nefesh, you don't wait for to find the guy. We don't want to run into such an issue, so we always just go straight to the Yid. Okay, and then we brought down the four different scenarios of Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos, and with the discussion that a person should not go and seek out a Shaila, shouldn't go ask a Shaila. If a person asks a Shaila, that means his Rabbein failed in teaching him the importance of Pikuach Nefesh, right? Of the Chai Behem, Lay Shamus Behem. And the four examples we gave was that he shouldn't ask questions, be a Zaris, and if he's a Zaris, he's Meshubach. One of the four examples, if a Nebuchadnezzar is drowning at sea, if Nebuchadnezzar fell into a bar, was example number two. Example number three was if the child is locked in a room. Example number four was if there's a fire that's spreading, to put down something in front of the fire, to either mechaba, to put out the fire, there's Gemara over there, to be mechaba the fire, to put out the fire, or to put out some pails of water to break the fire before it spreads. The pails of water actually will burst and they'll put out the fire. That's okay. The first we discussed, but I think we may have touched on yesterday, but I guess we didn't. But I just speak it out quickly again, that if you tell me you could put out the fire, and the Mark explains that only the case about the chiddush is. The case of the fish, the chiddush is, even though you may also be trapping fish, when he gets out, the case of them, the child at sea, the case of the bar, he's making a step into the bar, he's building, the case of the knocking down the door to get the child out of the room, you may be creating some wood, firewood or something, and the case of the fire, he's putting out the coals, maybe he's creating coals that he can use for later for his barbecue, but the Mefarshim are bothered, Shainim, Tasis, Breshim, that you tell me you can put out the fire. And they say, or you can put up some pails of water that'll cause the fire to go out. If I can put out the fire directly, why would I think I can't put out pails of water that the fire will, it's like a grumma, the fire will cause the pails, the buckets, the earthenware kalim to burst and the water will come out and put out the fire. That's just a grumma. I didn't actually put out the fire directly. If it's mutz to put it out, surely I could do that. So Tay says the answer is, and the chiddush for there isn't that you put out the fire. The chiddush is that you're taking these earthenware buckets through Rosh Hashanah. You're carrying. When it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, you let it carry. That's the chiddush in that line, not the putting out the fire per se. That's the additional chiddush. And then we left off with a member from Shmuel, and so that really, we're going to pick up in the middle of that conversation, where Shmuel says, review the same name of Shmuel, that when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, you don't go Basar Raiv. You don't go Basar Raiv by Pikuach Nefesh, meaning, what's the case? If it's 9 Yidin and one guy in a room, and the wall falls down, I'm not sure who fell down, a Yid or a guy, 9 of the people are Yidin, I'll be Raiv, it is a Yid. Elamites 50-50, we have a klal. Klal kavua kamechza, sorry. Elamites 5 yidim, 5 goyim. we know Safek Nefashas Lakol. We already said that in our Mishnah. What's Shmuel adding? Safek Nefashas Lakula. You don't know who it fell on. It's a 50-50 chance it's a yid. You go Lakula, and you got to dig up the rubble to try to save that person who may be a yid. Ella, the Gemara of the case is we have one yid and nine Gayim there. And even so, it's not the chiddush. Why? Because we have a klal called kol kavua kamechza mechza. It's exeris hakasav. When you have a makam kavua, when everyone's in a stationary place, we didn't start yet the new gemara yet. When you're in a stationary place, it's kol kavua kamechza mechza. So vayter is not a chiddush that you're mechal Shabbos for the suffix pikuach nefesh. So the gemara says ultimately the chiddush was we tak had one yid and nine gayim in place number one. And they moved out to place number two. If all of them moved out to place number two, you invite to the same halacha. Then, of course, in Michal Shabbos, that's when Shmuel says, no, I shouldn't say you invite to the same halacha. The chiddush is evil, they're being parished now. And when they're parished from the original place, maybe you go basarai, you say, no, since all 10 came out and the yid came out as well, we're still going to be chayshus, even though it's a 10% chance, we're going to be chayshus, the world fell on the yid. If, however, only some of them came out, the Gemara says, if only some of the 10 came out, then we don't even know if the yid is in that second room in the first place, and the world falls, so it's a suffix of yizdei b'chlal, and it was only a miyat, we're not going to be, say, over there, we're not going to say it's mutter to be mefakeh gal to uproot the rubble. So let's pick up the Gemara on page dal on the base, right towards the bottom of the page. Umi amar shulachi, third line up at the bottom. The Gemara just bothered that Shmuel Nice was saying that by a suffix pikuach nefesh, you don't go basarayv, and like we gave the case, nine gayim, one yid, and they move to a different room, and the wall falls on one of them, you could still be mechal Shabbos. Even with a suffix, only 1 in 10 chance that it's yid, you can still be mechal Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, does Shmuel say that you don't go basarayv? I look to find Mishnah. Fatran, we learned in the Mishnah discusses a city that has yidin and kusim living there. The Mishnah is Machshirin. Matzah batanik mishal, you find a child that was abandoned. We say as follows. Imrev kusim, kusi. If rev the people in the city are kusim, we assume it's a kusi. Imrev Yisrael, if rev the people in the city there are yidin, we assume it's a yid. Mechza mechza, if it's 50-50, then Yisrael, we assume it's a yid. So if it's 50-50, also we assume it's a yid. That's the Mishnah. And Rav comes along, Vamarav, and he qualifies. Leshanu elech yaisai. When we talk about assuming it's a yid, it's only to keep him alive, to make sure to sustain him with food. Aval leyachaisai, not to mix up the words, leyachaisai, to give him yichas, to say that he's a kusher, he has a kusher lineage, that by the way, we know the suffix is a guy. So what are you going to do? You just do geiris. Do geiris. So at the very least, manav shach, either he was a yid or he is a geiris. So we're saying, but for yichas purposes, no. For yichas purposes, we're not going to say he's kusher. The halach is that even once he says geiris, he's still usher to a kayin. It would still be usher to a kayin because it would be considered, it's a ger. A ger is usher to a kayin. But, and therefore we're saying, that the guy b'yichas, 50-50 we assume is a yid, and we take the chumrah that we got to support him financially, but not to be make on say that we give him a yiddish yichus, he's megayer, he's no worse than any other ger, but he won't be kosher to marry into a kayin. The first should point out, why is there not a concern over here of being a mamzer? Why is not a concern of being a mamzer? We know an abandoned child often, that itself, shtuki asufi, that's the Gemara's end of Kedushin, we assume that it's automatically a soyichus over there, we assume that it's a mamzer because the parents abandoned the child, that's a usually symbolic that the child was of a bad lineage, was an illegitimate child, and that was the reason why it would be abandoned. So Rashi explains, the Shadim discuss that the Gemara over there already says that it depends if the child was taken care of. If they, you know, they used to have to take the children and align the limbs on the body, and they set the limbs into place. When the babies were born, very traumatic experience, the limbs weren't out of place, they were out of the joints. And they used to fix the baby, make it nice. If the person took the time to fix the baby, make it look nice, looks like it's well tended to, that's an assumption that wasn't a mamzer, just that the mother couldn't handle, couldn't afford, couldn't keep the child, but not that it's a mamzer. So that's what we're talking about over here. We're not worried about mamzer over here, because we're talking about a child that was at least tended to, at least to that extent. Okay, says the Gemara now, with Shmuel, here's the part that we need. Tapa payment alf, Shmuel Amar, the fakech olavas agal. And Shmuel says that we're talking about being a fakech olavas agal. We're talking about digging out a pile of rubble on such a child. We say, we have a child that we don't know, this child that was found, that ended up, the wolf fell on him. We don't know what his status was. So as we say, that if we have a roiv yidinir, we're mefakech zagal. If not, we're not mefakech zagal. And maybe even by 50-50. Maybe even by 50, we'll be mefakech zagal. But not less than that. If it's roiv gayim, and only meet yidin, even if it's 60-40, gayim of yidin, you're not mefakech zagal. We just quoted the end of yesterday's shir, right at the bottom of Peidan Beis, that Shmuel says, you don't go basar roiv. We have the case of nine gayim, one yid. You don't go basar roiv. You say, when it comes to pikuach nefesh, you go even with the meat and you mechal Shabbos. Here we're saying not the chayra. Answer the Gemara, no, because we're reading Shmuel in the wrong spot. We thought Shmuel was going on the din when we said, we're saying the fakech of Zgal is going that on this din that only when it's Rav Yid. Says the Gemara, no, Ki Itmar Dishmul Arvesha Itmar. Shmuel's going to the Resha, Imrev Kusi Kusi. We said in the Resha, if Rav people in the city are Kusim, the child status is a Kusi. And Shmuel came along and said, even in that case, Amar Shmuel, even the case of Rav Kusim, we assume the child's a Kusi, and therefore the guy by other dinim, we may not have to tend to the child, maybe you don't have to support the child physically, but to save its life when it's under a rubble, that you still have to do. Says Gemara, Imrev Kusi, Imrev Kusim Kusi, Lamay Elchazah. But then, if that's the case, when it says Imrev Kusim Kusi, if Rev Kusim in the city are Kusim, then he says a Kusi, then what is the realm of the halacha? He's saying himself to Michal Shab to save his life, so presumably you're not going to starve either. So then, what's the purpose of the halacha? Yeah, you got to feed it, but you don't got to feed it kosher. You can feed it the cheaper Nevela meat. You can go buy the meat in Metro or in non-kosher aisles, I should say, and you don't have to pay the more expensive kosher meat. In Rav Yisrael, Yisrael, Lama Yechza, and we say in Rav Yisrael, Lama Yechza, Lachzi L'Aveda, say to return the Aveda. Ma Mechza, actually before we go further, just a quick point on the original, on the first member. We said from, really going back to Rav, right? We passed already, but we said from Rav, on the bottom of the Amen, Leishanu Leishanu that when we said 50-50, we assume it's a yid, that's legabe sustaining it, feeding him, but not legabe yichus. So there's a diak in Rashi, Taisva seems old, that was saying that 50-50, we're saying that if it's 50-50, Imre Yisrael, Mechza Mechza is Yisrael, and Rav says only, Lach Yese, only to, with regard to sustaining it, to feed it. So there's a diak in Rash Taisvis, that Stamazai, if something would be exactly 50-50, you wouldn't really be Mechiv Lach Yesai, and we Mechadish, then over here, that there's a Chiv Lach Yesai. And Rambam argues that, no, about the 50-50, always was been Mechiv Lach Yesai, that's not even a Chiddish. It's Pashin, the Mechiv Lach Yesai. So Mechadish just explains that the Mechikis Rashi Taisvis, this is the Yisaitistic piece from Mechadish, applies in many scenarios, that there are certain mitzvahs in the Torah where the mitzvah involves money. When a mitzvah involves, not just a cost of the mitzvah. The mitzvah involves, in this case, sustaining the child is a monetary expense. That's the whole mitzvah. In certain mitzvahs where there's a mitzvah element, and there's a mamnaseg element. And the machlekes Rashi Taisvis versus Rambam, how we would approach naturally a 50-50 suffix, is totally, what do we look at? Rambam holds, we're looking at the mitzvah. Suffix mitzvah deraisa, you go to chumrah. I cost money, okay, that's a secondary thing. Suffix mitzvah, you go to chumrah. And therefore, we would have gone to chumrah automatically by 50-50. Whereas, according to Rashi and Taisvis, Rabbi Chaim wants to suggest, they look at, even though it's a mitzvah, since the mitzvah is to spend mammon, on mammon, I don't want to use the word Meitz Mechaber Raya, because we're not talking about Meitz Mechaber. This is still a Gabi Mitzvah. But you don't say automatically, spend the money. You don't go to Chumrah, I'm making someone spend money. You go to Chumrah, I'm making someone do a Mitzvah, but not spending money. So how do you look at Mitzvahs that are totally in Mammon? Pidgin Aben, let's just say. It's a good example, where the whole Mitzvah is redeeming with money. If it's a Suffolk, according to Rambam, it would come out that the Mitzvah is a Suffolk, whether you did the Mitzvah or not, and therefore you don't have to do it, because Suffolk, if you do the Mitzvah, you got to do the Mitzvah. According to Rash Taisvis, it could be you wouldn't have to do the Mitzvah Suffolk, because it's a Suffolk of being Meitzi Mammon, and you're not Meitzi Mammon, Misafik. Interesting Machlekes, interesting Hagdara from Rabbi Chanan. Okay, but says we're further back in the Cheshvan, so we were saying, Lamayachs of these Dinim, Rav Kusim Kusim, we said Allah, the Nafkin is to feed a Nevela, so you can assume it's a guy, and feed the baby Nevela, you're not going to let it die, because we're still worried about Shmuel's din, but you know, at least feed it, you can still feed a Nevela. Rav Yisrael, so we said Nafkin is like, to return the Aveda, you return Aveda to a Yid, you don't have to return Aveda to a guy, and Mechza Mechza Yisrael, what's that Lamayachs of? Or Meshachas Nezakin, that's the Gabe Nezakin. What's the halacha of nezakin? Halacha of nezakin is, this is a interesting din. There's actually a famous Gemara where the Gemara discusses, I forgot exactly where it is, maybe somebody, yeah, in Bava Kama Daf Lamed Ches, where there was a certain Goyim that was sent to learn Torah. So a couple of Goyim were sent to learn Torah to find out what it says in the Torah, and they didn't know how to approach this sugya in Bava Kama, in the third, the fourth parak, I think it is, that the halacha is by Shar Shanag Zabara, if a shar of a yid gores a shar of another yid, so the halacha is very basic. If it's a tam, pays chatzin nezek. The damaging shar pays, the owner pays chatzin nezek. If it's a muad, you pay nezek shalom. What if the shar of a yid damages the shar of a guy? You putter. Shar of a yid damages the shar of a guy, putter. What if the shar of a guy damages the shar of a yid? Nezek shalom right from the beginning. Straight nezek shalom. So when a guy damages the yid, it's always nezek shalom. When a yid damages the guy, it's garnished, pay nothing. And when a yid damages on the yid, it's chatzin nezek and nezek shalom. So a guy's going to hear this Gemara, is not going to take to it properly. So that was the issue over the end of that Gemara. They were nervous to go back and repeat it, that it caused problems. Okay. But the the nafkamina over here. Why is that, by the way? Sorry, you're murmuring. Why is that? So it's actually based on a pasuk of Bavo over there says, it's based on a pasuk of Chavakuk of Akash Baruch Hu source, I forgot the exact lesson, of the Hitter Lahem, and what he dashes over there is, Akash Baruch Hu saw that the Umas Ha'elim were not keeping the Zion Mitzvahs Ben Nayach, the Hitter Espamainim. Because they weren't doing their job of keeping Zion Mitzvahs Ben Nayach, it was like a knas them, and therefore it's Mati the Maman, that's why this is the halacha. Okay, but the point is, bottom line is, the point is, that we're saying, the Gabi Nezakim, we say, that Mechza Mechza, we treat this baby like a Yid, the Gabi Nezakim. The Mar now explains, hey Chidam, what's the case? What's the case? If one of our shvarim, one of the oxen belonging to a clear yid, gores this suffix, this baby that was found, gores his ox, and we're saying that he's a suffix yid. Neisir Avinushka, what do you mean? You're going to say it's din of a yid for nezakim? You're going to say we have to pay? If he's a guy, I have to pay zero. How might I have a raya? I don't have to pay because of a mechza mechza, 50-50 suffix. What does it mean that we treat him like a yid for nezakim? Why would I have to pay? That doesn't make sense. It's Rishon Lezion says, you're right, it's the opposite way. The Nachetur Didei Latur Didon. One of his ox, this found baby, his ox went and gored one of our oxen. I want to demand full payment, because I say he's a guy. The lach is, doesn't work that way. Palga, half he has to pay, because a yid gores a yid, he pays a chazi nezik. So Palga has to pay Yavle Manavshach. And Yidach Palga, the other half, namely, this Suffolk fellow, could say to the yid, I see Raya Delav Yisohana Vishkoil, you bring a proof that I'm not a yid, and you can collect. Till then, you can't collect. So that's what means by chatz mechza mechza, which you make a yid, like I bought the Gavin Azakin, where he won't have to pay when he goes and he does damage, we won't have to pay. Now there's a general question of Chaim Zatzal, Chaim Soloveitchik asks, was saying according to Shmuel, we had Skashin, but ultimately we settled back on it, that Ein Hochin Benefashis Acharev, that you don't go based on Raiv, even if it's a miyat, you go and you try to save the person, Machal Shabbos, save the person. So if that's true, they don't go based on Raiv and Nefashis, how does Bezdin ever paskim? You know, the Halacha is Bezdin paskim is based on Raiv. Acharav Lahatis, Bezdin paskim is all Piraiv. Bezdin has, you go with Raiv Dayanim, and they paskin the Misa, right? They paskin the Misa. You know, if it's all the Dayanim paskim omei, then we say it's no good. Someone has to see it's Satzlos. But as long as you have Raiv, you have to win by two, right? You have to beat it by two. But you have Raiv Dayanim paskim, I think it has to be a majority by two or more. But that's why you give me some. All you need is Bezdin, not 72, Bezdin of 23. Not all. You need Bezdin of 23. And if you have a majority, let's call it 13-10. Then we give Misa. How you going to survive? Ain't a hochen benefashes acharayv. You worry about the miyat. So here too, worry about the miyat of the 10th Adam saying he's not chayim Misa, and don't give Misa. As I fact, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. Answer, Reb Chaim, a major yisayin, that there's a difference between rubai kekulai and hochen acharayv. Hochen acharayv is taka, in our case, where there's 10 people in the room, one's a yid, 9 are goyim, and we're not sure if the wall fell on the yid or the guy, and we're saying, forget about the kokavua issues right now, we're saying that even though I'll be right if it's a guy, you don't go by nefashas acharayv, and you have to worry, maybe it's yid, and you're fachav as a guy, Michal Shabbos, to save the person under the rubble, under the chance it's yid. That's hochen acharayv or inach acharayv. By a bezdin, the way it works is, once you have a rave in a bezdin, it's rubik akule. Once you have rave, it's as if you have all. You have the entire bezdin as an entity, paskin misa. You don't view it as if 10 paskin no misa and 30 paskin yes. Until you get to that point, you count the numbers. Once you count the numbers and you have a definitive majority, it's what we call rubai kekule. The rave becomes kol. Says Reb Chaim, it's two different sayings. It's related, it's similar ideas, but one is you go based on rave, it's rave, there's a meat, the meat's still alive. The meat exists, and you go based on rave, I would say about the fascists, you don't go based on rave. You gotta worry about the meat. But one is din of rubai kekule. Once you have the rave, it's if you have kule, and therefore we give misa and bez. A very interesting insight from Reb Chaim. Okay. Says the Gemara further, one other point actually on the last Gemara, we spoke about feeding the child in the velus. If it's Rav Gayim, you still keep the child alive, but to you, because even if it's a miyat, even if it's only a miyat that he's a yid, he still has to worry that maybe he's a yid, so you keep him alive. We say you're allowed to feed in the velus. Rashi says, but the child himself, once he becomes a gadol, he has to worry about the fact that he may not be a guy, and he has to stop eating nevelus. Okay, let's go further. Says Gemara. We had said in the Mishnah, if someone has the building fall on him, and we're not sure if there's even a person under the rubble, in the rubble or not. Even if there's someone in the rubble, we're not sure if he's alive or dead. Even if he's alive, we're not sure if it's either a guy. He's still Michal Shabbos. The Marwan said, what is all these layers of Shilas on top of Shilas? What's going on here? The answer is kind of what we spoke out already. My Kamar, what's the Mishnah saying? Lema Vay Kamar. It's saying not only with a buildup, even if you have three Shilas, one built on the other, three Tzvekas, that's a Svek, Svek, Sveka, he's still Michal Shabbos. Not only in the case with Safik, if he's there, but if he's there, if it's true that he is there, on the Saturday he's there, we could assume he's certainly alive, and we better rescue him to Mevachin, so we talk clear up the rubble. On Shabbos, even if it's Safik, if he's alive or dead, so you have a double Safik here, still, Safik, if he's there, and even if he's there, maybe he's dead, Mevachin, we still clear the rubble. And not only in the case of Safik, if he's even there, but in a case where he's the Yisrael that mefachas a gal. Ela filu safik kusi safik shol. If it's safik, even if he's the yid or not, an additional safik still mefachin. That was the buildup of the Mishnah, the three layered safik, and was still mechal Shabbos. Matzu chayim fachin. We said if you find him alive, you can do it to dig him out. We said that we spoke about the Mishnah from over here. Of course, you dig him out. What's the chiddush? Matzu chayim pshita. The guy's alive. Continue to save him. That's the whole point. That's what Yamil is doing. Why would you stop now? Just so you found that he's breathing, so you're going to stop? No. Chas v'shal metzricha dafilu l'chayisha. The chiddush is even if you know he's only going to live for a few more hours, you're not saving him forever. He suffered fatal blows. He's going to succumb. He's going to die from his wounds. Still, the chiyuv is Michal Shabbos, even for Chayesha, the chiyuv is Michal Shabbos. The Gemara we're not going to have today, but the Gemara from the Bam and Amid on Tama Beis, the Gemara is going to go through multiple sources. How do we know you Michal Shabbos to save a life? How do you know? And one of the sources the Gemara says is Svara, Mutav to Michal one Shabbos in order to let the person watch Shabbos Harbe many Shabbos, right? Well, now, going with that Svara in mind, we'll focus more on that than the other tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, but with that Svara in mind, this talk a massive Chiddush. I feel Chayesha, this guy's not living multiple Shabbos. The case, he's only living for a couple more hours. He only extends life for a couple more hours, and still you Michal Shabbos, you don't have Yen Svara of Shabbos Arbi. We'll see, but he got tomorrow, the different Mishabura, the Taisim Kippurim, Taka address, what that Gemara, what that Shita does with this Gemara, we'll leave that for tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, but that's Taka Bechiddush, that even only Chayesha, still Michal Shabbos. Then may say, who? We say, if you find him dead, leave him there. Again, what's the Chiddush? Hanami Pshita, if he's dead, he's Muktzah, what are you going to do? There's no more life-saving to go on over here. So what would you think? Says Gemara Letzricha, Eli Ridin Lakish. I would think, like Ridin Lakish is din, the time went to the Baisa, Ematzin Ameis Menet Leka, you don't save a mace from a fire. There's a fire threatening to burn up, to consume a mace. You don't go and save the mace. The mace is Muktzah, and you're not allowed Muktzah Shabbos, even in the face of a fire. Nebuch, if it gets burnt, it gets burnt. Amri Ridin Lakish, Shemati Shematzin Ameis Menet Leka, we find that you do save the mace from the Leka, and the explanation of Ridin Lakish is because if you don't allow him to, he's going to put out the fire. And muktzah is a derabbanan. Putting out a fire is a deraisa. It's interesting deraisa because kibbeh is only a deraisa when your mom is going to use the coals afterwards. Stomping out a fire is a derabbanan, but it's very close to deraisa. We don't want him to get involved with kibbeh, which could borderline a deraisa. So we say we allow him to move the muktzah, move the mace to muktzah, in order to avoid the issue of putting out a fire. So we see Kodim and Lakish, people are very worried about the mace, and therefore we allow certain leniencies, we dismiss certain derabanas, namely muktzah, in order to prevent from maybe a more chametzer happening. So maybe here too, maybe even though the guy is dead, you'll continue to allow to take out the rubble in order to prevent another issue. Where it says, that's the chiddush, even though Lakish is over there by the fire, a person's ball, he's nervous about his mace that's about to get burnt, and that's why he may come to do something even worse and be over bigger issue. So we allow the more lenient issue of muktzah. Because if you're not mad to him, he may come to put the fire. What's he going to do? What's our concern? We're saying stop digging. He may dig. Okay, so we'll tell him don't dig. But what else are we supposed to do? And if he doesn't dig, what's going to happen? The mace isn't going anywhere. The mace is dead. It's right there. So it may disintegrate a little more. There's not much of us to protect from, and therefore there's no need. That's the Chizra Mishnah. There's no need to make some sort of takana to let him dig or to change to make some sort of leniency because there's no real concern that we can protect from regardless. Tanarban. When we're checking the person in the rubble to see if he's alive, to where on the person's body do you check to see if he's alive? Up into the nose to see if he's breathing. To his heart to see, I guess, if the chest is, if it's pumping, if the blood, the heart, if the blood's pumping. If one checked and saw by the nose already, this is multiple people in Nebuch who are in this fallen wall, and you find people on the upper levels already dead. Don't lay him Nebuch. We have the story. Unfortunately, 2 years ago, the terrible story, it's almost 2 years, that happened with the building that collapsed in Miami. But, the relevance would be, not this, you know, it's unfortunate to have a case to reference, but and there were plenty of Yidden in that building, but the relevance would be if you found people on the higher floors that were nifter, it wouldn't be indicative that someone, there could have been a pocket, there could be a pocket that was protected on the lower floor, and a person could still be saved, potentially. So, the Gemara says, you don't take for granted that Tachtonim are dead, you still continue to Michal Shabbos, dig, with darbanans, digging could be derice even, muktzah, and you still try to see if anyone on the bottom is alive. Maisahaya, this taka story, Matzah Elyonim, Mace with Tachtonim Chaim. Taka found the story, they had a story where the Elyonim had died, and the Tachtonim was still alive. Name Hanan Tanai, Kanan Tanai. Let us say these Tanayim are arguing the same Tanayim as the Machloikis in the Brisa. Which Tanayim, first of all, just be clear, what Machloikis we had before? We said everyone says you rescue the bottom people. We're talking about the Machloikis right before that. We discussed whether you're checking for life up to the nose or by the heart. So that machlekas, when you check by the nose of the heart, the Gemara says, you know what it's telling in? We'll speak outside, then we'll say inside. Maybe something in the machlekas is how a baby's created. When a baby is born, when a baby is being formed in the mother's stomach, is the baby formed from the stomach outward, or is it formed from the head outward? The one who says you check by the nose, because he views that life comes from the nose, because a baby's formed from the head outward. And the one that views it that we look at the heart, that's because you look at the baby and the baby's formed from the stomach outward. I think these days science can tell you pretty clearly exactly how it works. Okay, besides the Gemara, Tanya Mechad of Vladnitzer, from where is the fetus formed in a mother's stomach? Mereshite, from the head, Shemer Mimem Ime Atagoizi. Vaimer Goizi, Nizrachashlichi, Goizi talks about pulling out hairs. So it's talking about the head, the same lashon of Goizi is used over there by head. So we say it's talking about from the mother's womb. Also, it's the head that started off. That's the Tanakama. B'shalamer, no, Mitziburi, from the navel, from the stomach. And it spreads out its roots in all directions. So the Tana that says you check the nose, it goes like the Tana that says that the baby's created from the head, perhaps. And the one that says you check the chest, it's also created from the stomach. So you don't want to check the chest area. Gemara says, no. Afitei Mabashol, even according to Abishol, who says that the baby's born from the created, formed from the stomach, he's still checking the most integral part to check for life is by the nose. Why? It's created from the formation of the uber, is from the stomach. Because as a general rule, things get created from the center and they spread out, they branch out. Saving life. Is in the mouth, in the nose. And where do we know this from? The pasuk says, anyone, this pasuk in the beginning, embraces, and it's actually parashas Nayach over there by the Mabel. Is it anyone, anything that had a ruach of life in its apav? So we see in its apav, it is talking about its, you know, in its nose, in its face. That's where the ruach comes from. So even Abishal agrees that if the baby's created from the stomach and it forms from the stomach, still the source of life, the proof of life is going to be by the nose. Amar Papa Machlekes Bemat Lamala. Rav Papa says Bechlal, the Machlekes between the two opinions of checking the nose, checking the stomach, checking the chest, is really when you're checking from the bottom up. So meaning, if one is checking from the rubble, is exposed the body, and you're able to check the body from the feet towards the head, so if you check the heart, the machlokes, is that good enough, or you have to go to the nose? Ava mamala lamata, but if you checked already the head, you uncovered the head, and there's no breathing there, he's not breathing, then going downward, once you should pass the nose, and you don't see any life there, you don't have to go check the heart, no one's going to say you have to check the heart, for the same pasuk, like the pasuk says, whatever is ruchayim apav, we see that the breath is what constitutes life, absence of that is enough proof of death, unfortunately, and therefore you won't have to go check further. So the whole machlokes is, if you check the heart, is that enough, or do you still have to go to the nose? But if you saw the nose, you certainly won't have to go check the heart. We'll pause over here, pick it up tomorrow, Mitzvah. Have a wonderful evening.